have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Lady Michelle Austin. I know what you've been through, you've been through. Don't think that it's only you.
Thank you all for tuning in. You are listening to Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle. And, of course, I am your host, Lady Michelle. So welcome, welcome, welcome to our virtual safe zone. You guys are in for a treat tonight. You're in for a treat. I'm so excited. But let me just let, excuse me. I'm getting all choked up here. First, let me let you know, of course, this platform is centered around the education of domestic violence, toxic relationships, the different forms of trauma. We talk about self-love. We talk about finding your voice. And this is just to name a few things. We have all kinds of topics on this show just to make sure that we touch every area of your life. And Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle was designed with each of you in mind, and we designed it to enlighten you, to educate you, to inspire, and to empower you, right? So y'all know what time it is. We got to give our disclaimer. We can't ever start without a disclaimer, and the disclaimer is that all content of this podcast is intended for general information purposes only. And it is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional mental health. So professional mental health. I kind of took a pause there, but don't substitute it for professional mental health, trauma advice, or therapy sessions. You must never, ever, ever disregard or delay seeking professional treatment based upon any content of this podcast. So I want to make sure that you understand that. And please, please, please promptly consult your physicians or call 911 if you believe you have a medical emergency. Because we want to make sure that you are okay, and we want to make sure everyone takes care of themselves while listening to this amazing podcast, right? Okay. So now that we got that out the way, you're in it for a treat, like I said, tonight. We have just an amazing person here. Well, you know, all of our guests, because everybody who comes on Speak Your Peace is amazing. But we have a special, special amazing tonight. And she is none other than Dr. Kia Everett. And I'm so excited to have her with me tonight. I've worked with her on some great projects, and I've been a guest on her show before, and I've just had the pleasure of being in her presence while she drops pearls of wisdom, while she helps you process through different traumas and things that you've gone through in your life. But why wouldn't she do that? Because she's an award-winning mental health therapist. And she is also an apostle. She is also a consecrated bishop, a senior pastor, and she has over 25 years of experience. And I always get this part wrong, so I'm going to let her correct me on this. But I believe it to be that she is the first African-American or has the first African-American mental health urgent care. Right? So she's going to correct me on that, but let's go ahead and bring her on in. Dr. Kia, hey!
Hey, Lady Michelle, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, fix that last part that I said, because I want to make sure that they got the good information.
So you got it right this time. It is the first mental health urgent care center. I am the first one to have it in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Yay! Look at that. We have greatness on this show. I love it. I love it. I love it. So with all of that, taking that into consideration, we are going to talk tonight about minority. Okay, so let me say it this way, because I didn't know this. July is Minority Mental Health Awareness Month. So we're going to talk
ma'am.
About that tonight. We're going to dive into that, right? And here's the thing. I didn't know what was going on. Like, it needs to be advertised more, because this is really serious. When I started, you know, doing some research and looking into it, this is something that we really deal with, the minorities and how to get that, the help that we need, how to even recognize it, acknowledge it, and all of those things. So this is and I'm just going to be quiet for a little bit and let you just dig right in and educate us all.
Sure. So, again, thank you so much for having me, and thank you to all of your listeners. I am truly honored and kind of a privilege to be on the show this evening. But, yes, as you said, July is Minority Mental Health Awareness Month, and this is definitely something that we don't talk about too often, but it's something that we need to bring more awareness to. Because as we are thinking, or as we know, being in the minority population in America can be very stressful and take a major toll on our mental health. And so, when we think about minority mental health awareness, you know, we are bringing a lot of awareness to mental health now, but then there's another piece of it, and that is minority mental health awareness. And you may say, well, why do we want to highlight minority mental health? Well, one, because when we look at our counterpart, our white counterpart, and there's really no nice or other way I should say to say it, but when we look at the minority population, one of the reasons that we can't access the help that we need is because there is such a disparity when it comes to healthcare for the minority population versus our white counterparts or the other population. And when I speak of minority, I'm not just talking about our African Americans. I'm talking about black and brown, meaning, you know, our black population, our Latina, our Asian American, you know, any population that would fall into the minority category, we are not able to access resources and healthcare the way our other counterparts are. So that leaves us with a problem or a challenge as to why mental health and the awareness and accessing the resources is still such a challenge, more so than it is for our other counterparts.
Wow. Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot to take in. And when I looked up about this, and you said it correctly when you said, of course, blacks, indigenous, oh, I can never say that word right. I was practicing all day today so that I could get that word. And the people of color. So, you know, you have our Asians and all of that, Hispanic, and all of those wonderful people who make up this minority. And I looked up, and it said that the theme this year was beyond the numbers. And that really hit me because, wow, you got to go beyond the numbers of what you see here. What can we do? What can we do as a community? How can we help to change this? You know, what kind of support can we give? I think a lot of times, too, that cultural-wise, we don't seek the help as well. And exactly. You know, remember back in the day, you know, Big Mama, they just, or whomever it was, Aunt Lula or somebody, they just kept her in the back room. And, you know, she had mental health issues, but they just kept her. They would take her food back there and they whatever, but just kept her away from everybody. And so those generational traumas have, you know, gone down through the line, and we don't really go and get the help like we should. There are many things that goes with it. Of course, sometimes we're not able to get the access. Sometimes we don't have the health insurance. We don't have the money to pay the co-pays. We don't have, you know, those kind of things as well. So that falls into play. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Exactly. And, you know, the other thing is we are not able to tap into the resources the way that others are. You know, as you said, Big Mama, you know, stayed in the background, or, you know, we grew up in that culture of what goes on in the house stays in the house, or what goes on in our backyard stays in the backyard. So, you know, we've been sick for a long time. You know, our people may have been dealing with these issues and challenges for a long time, but we had a tendency to either what we call sweep it under the rug, or try to deal with it in-house, or we would go to the church, and only to find out later in life that, and we went to the church because our church, our go-to for solving problems was, if we could not handle it in-home as a culture, our go-to was the church. Only to find out that the church didn't have all the answers. because it was more so, it was more of a clinical issue, or it was more of a healthcare issue. And so, you know, all of those things became a challenge. And because our communities are generally the last to get the information, we, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you go to the bus day, everybody says, oh, I want to get there early because I don't want to get what's left over. So because we get the information last, we get what's left over. And so generally we don't get the cream of the crop. I remember, and I'm shifting a little bit. I remember when, because I was a first generation college student, and I remember when I was going to college, and, you know, everybody gives you words of wisdom when you get ready to go off to college. And my older sister, one of the things she said to me as I was getting ready to go to college, and back then, you know, I had always grown up in predominantly white schools. My elementary school, I went to Chestnut Hill, and my high school, I went in the greater Northeast. So when I was getting ready for college, you know, I wanted to, I was going to tap into my black roots. I wanted to go HBCU. And my sister said to me, she said, listen, I get it. I get that you want to, you know, be around your people and you want to tap into your black power. She said, but you have to go where the money is. And she said, one thing I'm going to say to you is you want to go to a school where the quality of education is going to give you what you need to carry you through life. And what she said, and what I mean by that is you can go to an HBCU, she said, but that what you get in terms of education is always going to be limited. But if you go to a predominantly white institution, understand they are going to make sure that their kids always have the best that's out there to get. And you're going to get that information just by virtue of the fact you're there. So you're going to benefit by default because they're going to always make sure that their children get it. But if you limit yourself, you're only going to get what they allow us to get. And so I ended up getting accepted to Westchester University. And I went to Westchester University. And those words stuck with me because even as I've grown up and I watch, there is a major disparity. Whether we want to admit it or not, whether we want to talk about it or not, there's a major disparity of what we get as a culture versus what other people get. And everything we get, we have to research, pull it out, fight for it, inquire about it, and we have to go after it. But our other counterpart, if you will, they can get that same information just by virtue of who they are. And that stuck with me because to me going into college, but I see that as I am going through life now. And so if we stop when we look at minority mental health, how does that impact us as a people? And for me, you know, I know that I know who I am. I've embraced my blackness, if you will. I get it. But embracing who you are, it can either work for you or it can work against you. I choose to allow it to work for me. I know who I am. But because of who I am, I recognize that anything I have, anything in terms of my success, I'm going to have to work for it. That's just the bottom line. Nobody's going to give me anything. Or I can take the approach that because I'm black, I can sit and blame everybody for what I don't have. But I choose not to take that road. I choose to take the road that nobody's going to give me anything. Anytime I'm sitting at the high end of the table, everybody's going to wonder why I'm there. But it's up to me to let them know that I earned my right to be there. So I'm just going to pursue and go after. Now, does that make me frustrated sometimes? Absolutely. Does that make me stressed sometimes? Absolutely. Does that make me angry sometimes? And I'm talking about the mental health part. Absolutely. Do I look around and feel like that's unfair sometimes? Most definitely. But I can sit and talk about it, or I can make it work for me.
Wow. Whew. See, I told them you dropped some pearls of wisdom here. You gotta catch this Thriving Nation. You gotta catch the words of wisdom here. That was powerful, what you said. And I totally get it. I totally feel what you're saying. Being black and being a woman, I fall into both of those two minority categories. And so I understand what you're saying and find it. You know, I was looking at the cultural part of it and just how the stigma has been down through the years of not getting help, not, you know, no one wanting to say they needed therapy. They kind of looked at it as it was a only white people got therapy or seeked some type of help. And we didn't do that in the African-American community and things like that. Or I remember growing up, I would hear someone got 302'd, or I don't even know, do they even still say that? What, am I outdated?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
you know, someone would, you know, do that, or there was a medical place that was right across the street from where we lived. We lived in the housing projects right there of Fox Street, and there was a, it was a part of the Medical College of Pennsylvania. I remember some of the children from my school would go there sometimes after school, and they would have these little sessions, but nobody really talked about what was going on. And I think now they, of course, they have the ADHD and all of those different things now that they talk about even more. But back then, they would just kind of like slide your child into these little programs, and they weren't really talking about it in our community. And so I'm really happy to hear you talk about this. And the more that we get this information out, they have a whole month of bringing awareness. It's so good because we really need to get our people the help that they need. We got to figure out a way to do this. These numbers are staggering that I saw when I looked up some things, some facts, and they had some recent studies that suggested that 14% of Native American and Alaskan Native American had both mental and substance abuse disorders. 16% of those who identified as Black or African American have been diagnosed with mental health condition in just the past year. I mean, it was just these numbers are alarming, and I'm sure it goes on and on because you have people who don't come forward. So they only have numbers of those who actually come forward. Imagine the people who are sitting in your home, sitting in your community, sitting in your churches, sitting on your job, who don't even go to get diagnosed. You know,
Absolutely. So we
have to begin to normalize that it's okay. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay if you need help. It's okay if you need a little medication to help you process. You know, many people have been through so much trauma, and they're just holding those things in, and it just being in silence, right? Suffering in silence. They're never talking about it. Well, it begins to take a toll on you after a while, and you know what's going to happen? It's going to come out in some kind of ways that you're not ready for.
Absolutely.
To seek help. Yeah.
And
so then we need to come to you.
Well, here's the thing. People don't realize just being black in America, just being a minority in America is traumatizing today.
Woo.
Okay. We don't even have to talk about the traumas that people are accustomed to. And when I say the traumas that people are accustomed to, I'm talking about war, rape, molestation, you know, those type of things. I'm talking about just walking the streets of America is traumatizing because, you know, when you leave your house today in peace, that in itself is, we used to call it a blessing. No, we done bumped it up. It's a miracle now. And trauma that's associated with, you know, let me make sure I tell everybody I love them. Let me make sure, you know, I got my location on in case, like, that's traumatizing because 10 years ago we didn't have to do that.
Right.
People are now suffering with literally what looks like OCD because it's like, I got to make sure my windows are locked. I got to make sure my doors are. Back in, you know, 10 years ago, if you didn't remember, if you locked the back door, you were like, oh, it's no big deal. Nobody's going to bother. Especially if you were in a neighborhood that you knew everybody. But now, if you aren't diligent with those things and you can't remember, your stress level goes to an all-time high because you don't know what you may come back to.
Right.
Just sitting in your living room playing a game with your child, you could end up shot by the police in the best neighborhood. So all of this, you know, is a level of trauma that as minorities we live under because it is not, and this is not something that the ones that don't look like us, people that don't look like us, they don't necessarily have all of those same stresses. And a lot of times, you know, when they say, oh, well, we understand. No, you don't understand. My son, my only son, who is a black male, he's driving a car. As a parent, I have to literally pray every single day, God protect him, keep him safe. There's a certain level of concern that I have when my African-American son is out in the street of society that I'm sure a Caucasian parent would not have just by virtue of the color of their skin. And we don't like to think that, but that is our reality. Because one wrong move, my son could end up dead. Somebody else's son could walk away.
Wow. That's real deep right there. And that is something to think about. And the unfortunate part, and I'm going to use this to transition into another question, but the unfortunate part is it's even happening to our young African-American daughters now, too. It
Absolutely.
Used to be that only the males that we were concerned about, but there have been many reports and many videos and things like that that have surfaced with the young ladies.
Lady Michelle, let me say this. When I say about my son, and, you know, I just want to put this out here because a lot of times when we see on the news about our young boys or young men that are being victimized, the first thing we say is, oh, well, they were in that lifestyle. But my son is a straight-A student and is a Harvard student now. He is going into his second year of Harvard. Now, my son graduated from Upper Darby High School. He was vice president of his class. He was to be the representative on the board. So to serve in that position. And so he was at all of the, you know, school board meetings, and he did a whole bunch of stuff. He was and all of those kinds of things. When he graduated, he had scholarships. Now, this was just 2 years ago. He did all of this through COVID, and he was, I think, the first student that went to Harvard, three of Upper Darby High School.
Wow.
Okay, so as a parent, yeah, as a black parent, yes, I'm concerned about my son because I have to worry about the students who are, first of all, jealous. I have to worry about people setting him up. I have to worry about all of those things because my son, as a black male, went to Upper Darby High School, which is a predominantly white school in the Upper Darby Township, which is known for racism, and did something that he wasn't supposed to do as a black male.
Right.
Okay? And not only was he not supposed to do it, he did it with flying colors. And it's still the talk in the town. Okay?
Mm.
And so these are the concerns as, you know, when we talk about minority mental health, okay, we're not rich people. So we didn't pay for him to have all of this. He earned all of this. But we still can't even, you know, yes, we're elated. But as a parent, there's a deep undercurrent of a concern because it's like, okay, who's after my son? Is somebody after my son? And we have to, my husband and I have to constantly undergird him and cover him with, not just him, but our whole family, because we know the tactics of the enemy, that if they can't get to him, they'll come after the family in prayer. That's
right.
Right? All because as a black male, he did something in a predominantly white culture that wasn't done before as a black male.
So let me get this. So, because what I'm hearing is you and your husband, so the mental state that is taken on you all to, you know, be worried about him, to pray for him, to, you know, make sure that everything is good. How is his mental state in all of the things that you just mentioned that he's done and, you know, the people who may be trying to, you know, keep him from excelling in life? How's his mental state with this?
Well, it's funny you ask, because he is, my son is so trusting and so, I wouldn't say naive, but like he loves where he went to school. He loves the area. And he's in Abu Dhabi right now as we speak. And we're constantly saying, son, like, you know, don't be caught up there, you know, blindsided. Don't be careful, you know.
Right.
We're constantly saying to him, like, dude, like, why are you up there? But, you know, his friends are there. He was in the
right.
district all of his life. You know what I mean? And we get it. We understand. But we're constantly saying, like, come on, like, give us a break. So, you know, our family has relocated, and we felt like we could kind of woo-sigh, because once they all graduated, we were kind of like, okay. But he loved it up there. So it's
wow.
just like my
okay.
husband and I are constantly saying, this boy is going to drive us crazy.
Right. Got it. Got it. He got you. He got you, you know, extra praying, right?
Right, 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 right. But, you know, we get it.
Yeah.
He's a teenager. So, you know, teenagers are, they feel like we good, we got it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, we still, even though Dr. King fought for that equality, we still very much live society where the equality is not so equal.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it
yes.
plays a major part on our mental health. And, you know, we still have to fight to get the resources and the resources and the information that we need to help us to get through, you know, the things that we need to get through.
Mm. This is something. This is something. I love the information that you have given us, and I want to give a little bit more, and then I would like for you to talk about what you have coming up in terms of some mental health programs and some different things that we can access so that we can get more wonderful information about this. So, again, like I said, the theme this year is Beyond the Numbers. And there's a write-up that talks about more than 60 million Americans suffer from mental health condition in any given year. And many of those individuals, of course, are African-American, Hispanic, Asian-American, or part of another minority population, which, of course, is the people of color. Yet the studies should suggest that African-American and Hispanic-Americans seek treatment at only half the rate of whites. I wanted to make sure that I got that out there. Half the rate of whites. While Asian Americans only do so at one-third of the rate of whites. So we need to really look at these type of numbers, and we need to really stress in our cultures, stress in our communities that it is good to get help, to seek some kind of treatment. And it was really you know, because of a lot of these numbers, because of a lot of this with the minority in 2008. Now, this was back in 2008. Now, we're already at 2022, but in 2008, that's why they started this whole minority mental health awareness month. And that was attributed to Bebe Campbell Moore. I had never heard of her before, but this is, I'm telling you, Thriver Nation, you know, look her up. Look up some of the work that she's done. Really get in tune with what is going on around us. And if you feel like you need some help or you need to talk to someone, be sure to do that. I have a therapist that I go to. I have several therapists. I have, you know, I have some late night sessions. I have some, you know, I have a life coach that I speak with. You know, I'm always talking to someone about some of the things that are going on in my life. You have to talk. You have to get those things out. Speak up. Speak out. Don't hold those things in, because you never know what the outcome will be. And if you simply speak about it, you can be in a room speaking about these things and find out that someone else in that room has experienced the same things that you have experienced. And you guys can even probably walk each other through, or, you know, some kind of help will come about just in a conversation. So I'm just saying all that to say, get the help that you need. Seek help. You're not crazy. You know, we don't use all of those terminologies anymore. It's not anything to look at as this bad thing, but it's really about your health, taking care of your mental health. Just like you would take care of your physical health, go get a physical from your doctor, you need to take care of your mental health as well. Am I correct, Dr. Kia?
Absolutely. I often tell people, and I use this for example all the time, when it comes to, you know, if somebody was standing in front of you and they were grabbing their chest, sweating profusely, and fell out, you would not hesitate to call 911, because you would assume that they were having a heart attack. And so you would call 911. You would want to get them to a cardiologist as quickly as possible. So it's the same thing. If someone is showing signs of mental distress, let's call. Let's be proactive. Let's not assume they're going to be okay. Let's get them some help. If you yourself are showing signs of mental distress, things are becoming overwhelmed, you're feeling sad, you're feeling anxious, meaning you're feeling worked up, you can't calm down, whatever the case may be, get some help. It's okay to say that you're not okay. It's not a shameful thing. We are living in a society now where people are just not okay. You turn on the news, you're not okay. You're not okay with what you see. You're not okay with children being shot. You're not okay with schools being gunned down. You're just not okay. If you are human, if you have any sense of humanness in you, you are not okay with the things that are going on in this world. And it's okay. So get some help.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you find that there is, I know we talked about people of color, what about the disparities mentally-wise in the work world? I know we talked about the you know, other things in the community and things like that, but in the work world, I find that even as an African-American woman, and so those are two minority pieces that I fall into, there I see some disparities in the work world. And it
absolutely
messes with my mental health.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a major, major, major challenge, because, you know, you find that many times in the work world, I know for me, when I first started in this field many, many years ago, I was very, very young. I graduated grad school. I was 26. So that was a triple minority for me, because I was black, I was female, and I was young.
Ooh,
so,
yeah.
You know, I was given a hard time, okay, especially by, and believe it or not, the ones that gave me the most, the greatest opposition were middle-aged white women. And I don't know. I was like a triple threat to them. And so that was really difficult. And so we find that, and even in the work of ministry, you know, you find that women, African-American women, are sometimes not paid the same as maybe men. Or let's say in the ministerial world, you know, ministry is a male-dominant field. And so when you have, you know, you still have people who believe women shouldn't be in ministry. So we have that whole, you know, women are always fighting for their place and all of that kind of stuff. And so that's very stressful because, you know, women may be doing the work, but men are the ones that's getting all the support. That's
right.
Very stressful. When you get into the corporate America, you might have someone who's very, very talented, and they are the ones making the CEO look like the champion. But yet and still, the CEO is giving the accolade to the other person, okay? Because the other person has the look.
Yes.
The person who doesn't have the look is the one that's doing all the work. So you have all of those things that's going on in the workforce. And it's not until we understand, and I tell people this all the time, as a coach, as a mental health therapist, I tell people all the time, they will never, and what I mean by they, whoever they are, they will never make you feel like you deserve to be where you are.
Right.
But you have to know that you earned your seat at the table, in the office, wherever. Once you understand that you deserve to be there, it's your job to make them know that you deserve to be there. Because if you wait for them, they will never make you feel like you earned it. It's up to you to let them know. Does that make sense?
Right. Wow.
Because think about it. Just like Obama. Obama was the president. And even while he was in the White House, everybody was still trying to come up with reasons why he shouldn't be the president. He was already the president. That didn't make sense. And there was nothing anybody could do unless he did something against, you know, unless he did something to get impeached. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But they were still trying to find reasons why he shouldn't be the president. That didn't make sense. So they were never going to acknowledge that he deserved to be the president. If for no other reason but because he was voted in.
Woo!
Wow. Okay? So, but guess what? He's the only president that we can say to date that was in office for 8 years without a scandal, he got out of president 8 years and was able to get out with a clean sweep.
Right.
And they still trying to find stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So he knew that they didn't want him there, but he knew that it was the burden was on them to prove why they should be there.
Exactly.
So what I'm saying is, as because we know that they, whoever they are, will never make us feel like we are good enough. They will never do it to let them know. You don't have to like the fact that I'm here. But whether you like it or not, I'm here. And it ain't nothing you can do about it.
Wow. Oh, I tell you. Again, you done hit the nail on the head, okay? Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at the time and I tell you, we could probably be here like another 2 hours because it's so much. information, and it's just so really good talking with you, and we'll have to absolutely bring you back for another time, and we'll continue our courageous conversations with you. But I want you to really quickly let the Thriver Nation know you have something that's coming up. Let them know how they can get involved with it, and then we're going to get ready to slide on out of here. Give them your info on how they can get in touch with you as well.
Sure. So, again, I'm Dr. Tia Everett, and so the first thing we have coming up is our annual mental health conference. That is October 22nd, and that is in Springfield, Pennsylvania, at the Springfield Country Club. And all of that information is on all of our social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and all of that. And so they can get information. We are also on Eventbrite. And so the theme for this year is Rise Up. So we're going to be talking about rising up from basically anything that has held you down. You can rise up from it. And so that's this year, October 22nd. The second thing that we are doing is a community outreach. And that is, we're calling it The Scoop. And so we're partnering with Rita's Water Ice, and we're doing that right before school. We're giving out food supplies to the first 100 guests or students, I would say. And we're going to be giving out The Scoop. And so The Scoop about mental health, how to read those individual, the IEPs, the individual education plans for the students as they're going back to school, helping parents know how to advocate for their kids. We're going to be giving out The Scoop. And so they can get their water rights. We're going to give them some food supplies and, help them to prepare for the school year. And that is on August 22nd. And that will be in Claymont, Delaware. Okay? And we do have some other things coming up. If anyone is in need of services, they can reach me via my website, which is www.drkiaworldwide.com, drkiaworldwide.com. Also, you can find me, I'm giving you my ministry, at Finding Your Way Mental Health Urgent Care, Finding Your Way Mental Health Urgent Care. And so that's how they can find me. And I'm on all social media platforms under Dr. Kia.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. We talked about a lot tonight, a lot, a lot, a lot. I want to make sure that we give a phone number. I know that we talked about some mental health. They have a way to get to you, and then also there is the suicide prevention number as well.
So my phone number is 833-646-42. 833-646-33. Or two. Okay.
Got it.
Now, the suicide hotline, they just dropped a new hotline where all they have to dial is 988. They can text it, 988.
Wow. That's beautiful.
And
yes.
They'll be able to get in touch with somebody 24/7. 988.
Awesome. That's great. That's great.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Kia.
Now, let me give this 1-800 number for those that don't have access to text. And that number is 800-273-TALK, 273-TALK. That's the 1-800 number for suicide. But for those that have, you know, access to texting, they can just text that 988 for suicide prevention.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Kia. Thank you so much tonight.
You're welcome. You gave us a great some knowledge to go with. Again, thank you for even bringing it to my attention. I had no idea that July was Minority Mental Health Awareness Month. I'm glad that I know now, and we will make sure to always keep our Thriving Nation abreast of what is going on. They can also connect with you. We will make sure that we put everything up on our social media pages. This podcast will also be available. We're available on all kinds of things. Spotify, iTunes, now I'm missing somebody, iHeart Radio Podcast, all of those different platforms. And then we also have our YouTube page, which is Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle. I think the podcast, though, is under Lady Michelle Speaks. Yeah, let me get it right. Lady Michelle Speaks. And then you can go over and you'll be able to find all of the different podcasts that we have. But I just want to thank you so much again. You are such a blessing. We will certainly have you back because there's so much to talk about. There's so much to unpack. When you begin to talk about mental health, you can't do it in one session. You know, we would be just doing a disservice to everyone if we tried to do it all in one session. So we would love to have you back on the show at a later date when our schedules can make that happen.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So, of course, Thriving Nation, you know my final thoughts to you. We always say be kind to one another, but we always go a step further here at Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle, and we say be kind to yourself. And don't ever forget that you are no longer a victim. You are more than a survivor. You are a thriver. You know this is what we live under. This is our mantra. This is what we teach all of everybody who comes through any platform that Lady Michelle Speaks is on, whether it be our Heal and Rebuild, Unbreakable Spirit organization, which, you know, we deal with domestic violence and toxic relationships, child abuse, trauma, all of those things. We help you through that. We assist you with things that fall under that umbrella, and, of course, through this podcast as well. And so I certainly do thank everyone, each and every person, for tuning in. If you guys didn't tune in, we wouldn't have a show. And so I thank you all for taking the time out each and every week to listen to what we have. And you can always email me, LadyMichelleSpeaks@gmail.com, if you have certain things that you want to talk about, certain topics that you want to talk about that we have not covered. Please be sure to send me an email or, you know, find me on social media. I am under Michelle Jones-Austin on Facebook, Instagram, Lady Michelle Speaks, Twitter, Lady Michelle Speaks. You can find me on LinkedIn, Heal and Rebuild. So we're on all of the major platforms. And just let us know what you want to talk about, and we'll make sure to get it. And so before we get out of here, I want to remind all of my thrivers, when you love yourself, you are healed. And when you are healed, you are loved. Thank you again for tuning in. I'm going to see y'all next week. Of course, we're going to have another amazing guest, and we want to give another shout-out to our Dr. Kia. Thank you so much. I love you all. Have a great week. Good night now.
Good night.
Pick your head up, get up, it's only right, take back your life, pick your head up.